That song said that he's Alpha and Omega, first, last, beginning, end. It starts with him, it ends with him. It's not over until God says so. I don't care who told you it's over, who told you it's too late. Until God tells you it's too late, it's not too late. For whatever that could be in your life, what does that reach in you? Is there anything that you quit dreaming because it seemed impossible or past time where you could have it? I just want you to know it's not too late. That was one of the ways that the Lord came into relationship with the great man Abraham. It's to say, though it's impossible with you and your strength and your body and your wife, you being old can't reproduce, but with me it's possible. And so I want you to begin to believe impossible things. God calls us to great challenge. If your dream and vision is something you can accomplish within yourself, I ask you, are you sure that's a dream or vision from God? Because when God gives dreams and when he gives visions, I'm telling you, you come to a place where you have to know he's Alpha and he's Omega. I want to welcome you. If you've been invited to this place today, I'm so glad that you came. Thank you for taking the invitation. Thank you for being here. And all of those that invited someone, thank you for doing that. Last Sunday, I asked the congregation to invite someone out this week. I believe God has something special for us. Let me first give a few shout-outs. We have a live stream audience listening. So every Sunday morning at 11:15, we have people throughout the state and out the nation that are listening in Texas and Louisiana. And those that are in Louisiana, I want you to know we've been praying for you with the flooding and all that's going on there. Also, we know in eastern Washington, Wenatchee, as I mentioned, Orondo, which is in the hills of Wenatchee, they sent peppers and cucumbers and tomatoes to me, and I'm eating them, even the peppers. Also in Davenport, Lake Roosevelt, I want you to know that there's great things going. Our pastor and founder, Apostle Jesse and Linda Rainwater, are out there listening today. And I want to show you a quick picture. If it's possible that they can put this picture that we received. Those of you that know we're doing a prayer chapel, building a prayer chapel that will be open 24/7 in Davenport. Anybody that goes by that needs to come in, whether that is to just pray, whether that's just to get quiet with the Lord, if it's seeking an answer, if it's a place to just cry out to God, this place is going to be open 24/7, whether anybody's there or not. Any time of day, any time of night, anybody can go into this place. And I'm first thankful that God put this on the hearts and minds of our apostle. Amen. I call him Mom and Dad. And they've been praying for years and years. And they at first, I was out there with them, and we were praying for property, that we want a property just to vacation on, just to go hunting and enjoy ourselves and enjoy Eastern Washington. But it's amazing how God can take what is for your pleasure and turn it into some great purpose. And so before any house or cabin could be built on this property, the first thing has to be a prayer chapel. And I want you to see, this is that prayer chapel, and sitting right at the front entrance was this buck. And they began to get people to say, hey, there's a buck sitting out front of your prayer chapel. And I want you to know there's been years of prayer going into this. I want you to know that there's been years of prayer going into this. There have been people standing on that land praying for years and years and years, believing for God to put a well in the land where the people could come in to the presence of God. And when I saw this picture, I want you to know, I believe that God drew this deer. I believe he drew the deer. I believe that there is peace, joy coming out of that place. I believe that there's a river of life coming out of there. And I believe it's supposed to get into the community. As you remember last week, we were talking about being a land that flows with milk and honey. That God wants us to be participants of a land where milk and honey is provided. It flows with life and blessing and favor. It's the promised land. And as we went through the lesson, we learned that the land isn't just one physical place, but we become the land when God comes to dwell with us. that we enter a promised land, that we are no longer an old salt land or a wilderness or a place where nothing grows. But he says that with God, he being the vine, we become the branches of the vine of life, of the tree of life. And we begin to bear fruit that's good for us and good for those around us. And that we have something to offer at all times. And in the year of drought, we won't be careful, but our leaves will continue to be green because something is coming from us. And I believe that through this prayer, that God is showing me that this place is going to be a blessing to that community. You know, it's amazing to think, imagine putting up a 24-hour prayer chapel right here in Tukwila, Seattle area. How quickly it would get graffiti written on and people would use it to go in the bathroom, do drugs. But I believe that there is protection of this prayer chapel that is going to be used for salvation, encouragement, life. I believe people that don't know God are going to have a place. They might not walk into a church, but they're going to know that there's a prayer chapel. They're going to hear it throughout the community, and they're going to come asking God questions that they're afraid to ask people because they don't want them to know they're lacking. And God's going to speak to them in that place. I believe this is the start of something great, and I'm so proud to be part of it. I'm proud of Mom and Dad. Their help out there. Doug and Cindy have been helping so much and put so much effort out there. You know, it takes work to get things done. It takes work to get things done. A lot of us have vision. We just don't have the work ethic to meet the vision. A lot of us, I heard someone say that they have a dream. But a dream needs to become a vision because we need to have a course of action. As long as it's just a dream, it's just a dream. But a vision, we have to start putting plans to it. We have to start putting strategy to it. And God gives strategy for the vision he gives. But it's going to require all you have. I heard someone say, I receive from God things that are free, but I have learned something about things that are free. They are free, but they cost you everything. I'll give you an example. To get married, the vow is to come, I freely give myself out of no obligation or threat. No one is making me do this. I give my will free. But once I give my will free, it costs me everything. Somebody has a child and they didn't even know how they have the ability to reproduce, but somehow they take this free thing and when it begins to produce life, it costs them everything. There are things that are free, but it will cost you. God is calling us into things that are free, but it costs you your old life. It costs you the old life. Today we're going to be talking about something, and I want you to know I got the message free because that's how God gives. He gives revelation. So the Bible says, whatever he gives me freely, I should give it freely. And so God gave me this message free, but I want you to know it cost me a whole bunch. I was telling somebody, this message, for some reason, this week seemed harder for me. I do a lot of messages. I'll do a message on Wednesday morning. I'll do a message on Wednesday evening. I do a message on Friday evening. I'll do a message after the service today for 2 hours. I'll do another message for a radio show. All different messages. And God gives me messages, and I ask, seek, and knock, and God freely gives so I can freely pour it out. But this message was a challenge for me. Again, he gave it freely, but there was a cost to it. I want you to know that there is a cost to receive from God. And one of the costs is to put yourself out there. For you to receive the message today, you're going to have to be willing to not worry about what you look like, who's watching you, what it means about what you did yesterday, how it is going to affect what people think about you tomorrow. You're going to have to be willing to pay the cost to receive from God. It might cost you your image. And so I want all of us to count the cost and say, Lord, I'm prepared to receive at all costs today. There's a scripture that goes with this. It's in Psalms 42, verse 1. I want to read it from the New King James Version. And when I saw this picture, it struck my spirit and immediately brought me back to not only the verse, but there is a song. I'm not going to sing it for you. I see Elder Lacey in the back. Maybe he'll sing it for me later. No, he said no. But it reads like this: as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. As the deer comes looking, driven by thirst, to find water, looking for that crisp, cool water of the brook, King David is saying that, God, I can see a deer out there in the woods or wherever I would be searching for water, and when they find it, I can see them put their head down so quietly and begin to draw from the water, and I can see it being refreshed. But I see myself in that deer. I see myself, and I am longing after the water that comes for you, for my soul, like the deer would pant for water. If you've come to this place and you are thirsty, I want you to know God is going to provide for you to drink today. God is going to provide for you to drink. Sometimes we don't recognize that it's thirst that we really need, and so we go try to find people to help it. We try to fill it with a movie. We try to fill it with fun. We try to fill it with something, only to come to the conclusion, I'm still dying of thirst. There's still something in my life that I need to draw from that I'm not getting. And I want you to know that God wants us to get to the point that as the deer pants for the water, that our soul would long after him. That we would be thirsty for what God gives in a way that goes beyond casually going to church. I want you to know you can go to church and be thirsty all your life. Because church is only supposed to bring us to that place to help us find that God is present with us and wants us to be part of his life, even as he's part of our life. Scripture says that we have come to the place where we've escaped the lust of the world by being partakers of the divine nature of God. God wants us to draw into the waters of his depth. He wants us to drink from a place that's spiritual and not just good words and good morals. Christians have to go beyond being nice to people, and they have to be able to draw from something that they can share that actually will meet the spiritual needs of the whole world. But first, we must drink. Sometimes we're trying to give everyone else a drink, but we failed to give a drink. So now turn quickly with me. We're going to go to Ezekiel 47. We're going to read 9 and 10. Sounds like I'm very serious right now, and I am, but this is going to be a message that's going to bless you. I want you to be prepared to get something. I don't want you just to hear a good word. I want you to go home with some new unction and power. I want you to go back satisfied. I want you to get more thirsty because you found God will give it to you if you ask, seek, and knock. God wants us to be in a relationship where we're drawing from the power of God and it is manifesting in our natural life. God wants us to have joy that comes from something that's not based on circumstances, but it's an ever-flowing river of life that flows in us and through us. God wants us to be fruitful, not just by the work of our hand and the labor of our career, but because we have connected to God who is able to make all life abound. For Jesus said, I only came that you would have life and have it more abundantly. So here in Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 9 and 10, I think you're going to like it if you don't like it. And it shall come to pass that everything that lives, which moves, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither. For they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river comes. I want you to know God has a river that wherever it goes and wherever it flows, wherever it goes through and flows to, lives, becomes fruitful. God has a river that whatever the river flows through and to becomes alive and fruitful in things that were impossible to it before. Things that were considered waste and useless become something that would thrive and be part of his garden. I want to encourage you that God wants there to be a river, not only in the corporate place, but in your life, that you would begin to know for sure that where the river of God is, it's consistent and constant. He never stops and he never fails. It's not something for one little season, but all of my life, from here on after, there is a river that flows from God to me and through me, and I shall be fruitful. We have to put a demand on new things, which is going to require me to let go of the old thing. So wherever the river goes, things come alive. That's why we love to start with worship, because we know that worship is us getting in the water with God, us choosing to focus on the relationship that flows from heaven to earth by His Spirit and into our lives. And so we worship and we move and we stir the water. Sometimes you have to recognize sitting quietly doesn't move the water. Sometimes you have to know that your mouth is one of the outlets of the riverhead. And you have to know when it's time to speak. One of the great places where that river begins to flow, the Bible says, he who believes in his heart and confesses with his mouth that Jesus is Lord shall be saved, because they shall be forgiven of their sins and they shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That river is going to come. And when they open up their mouth, things that were dammed and blocked begin to flow, and they begin to speak with new life and new conviction. Jesus is Lord. And if Jesus is Lord of my life, I'm not a slave to yesterday. I'm not a slave to anything today. I give myself freely to my Lord. I can only have one master. Therefore, I will no longer serve you addiction. Therefore, I will no longer serve you poverty. Hate, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I have one Lord and one master. And now he's flowing through me, even as I would speak. God would speak with me. Everywhere where the river flows, there is life. Verse 10, it says, and it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from En-Gedi, even to, I said this word so perfect in my study, Eneglium, and they shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of a great sea, exceeding many. I can't help but picture Peter toiling, working. Anybody here work so hard that you're just tired? And you're trying to produce and be fruitful, but if it's limited to the production of your hand, the Bible says, he who trusts the strength of flesh shall inherit the parched or dry places of a desert. There should be no water there. But as Peter was working hard, and finally the Lord appeared and said, I want to go out there fishing. I want to go into your boat. And he says, listen, we've been fishing all night and we've been working hard. I want you to know he was in darkness. He was in the night working hard. And he had no expectation that there could be a river that could change things. But the Bible says that Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River. And the river didn't just wash his body, but the Bible says the Holy Spirit, the river that came from the throne room of God, came to him, upon him, and in him, and remained. And he didn't start his ministry until the river from heaven flowed into his life on the earth. And he began to let that river flow out and through him, and everywhere he went, now dead things started coming alive. The mute started to speak, the lame started to leap, the dead were raised. And the poor had the gospel preached to him. And so when he spoke now, he spoke with the river of life running through him. And he said, cast your net on the other side. So Peter said, at your request, I'll do it, even though I don't want to. But he didn't know that a river had come to flow through for anybody who would believe. And when he cast his nets, suddenly he began to catch more fish then he could bring in his nets. And it says that his nets began to break because he wasn't ready or prepared for the catch that came with the flow of this new river. And sometimes you can tell whether someone really expects the river to flow by the net they bring. They really have no expectation for God to do something, and so they don't come with the expectation. They don't bring the nets to catch many fish. They're just hoping to get enough for today. But I want you to know God wants to break your nets of expectation. He wants you to see that what flows and comes from the life of God is bigger than what you could hold for yourself. The scripture says Peter had to call his friends and his partners and tell them to get the boats here because we have more than we could handle for ourselves. This is because the river had come. And from that day forward, Peter left everything to follow after this river and follow Jesus. Jesus said something great to him. He says, "You're a fisher. And it runs in your family, but I'm going to make you a fisher of men. And you're going to catch them in this river with new nets. For in my Father's house there are many mansions, or I have room for everyone. I want you to help me bring them in. I want you to help me bring them in." Which means Jesus was letting them know that the river is going to have to get in you. It's not just to be me that you follow me, but what if I could get in you? What if I could get the river of life in you? I hope you're getting excited. I'm getting a little excited. I'm trying not to yet. Apostle would say, I don't want to preach yet. Let's go back to the beginning, Genesis 2. You remember God made a garden? First he made the earth and he made everything in the earth, and he had the light that was separated from the darkness, and he began to put things in order, and he made every fruit-bearing tree to make fruit that bared seed of itself. He had everything ready to go. But he said, I have no man to till the ground yet. I have no one to handle the product or the produce that's going to come. And so he put man in the garden and gave him dominion and said, your life should come from handling the fruitfulness of the land. I want you, your job to be, and the reason you were made is like, I want you to participate with me and like me, and I want you to be the one that watches over the fruitfulness of the land, and I want you to make it increase from the area in which you are now. I want to expand your territory. But if I'm going to expand your territory, I'm going to need you to be an authority, and I'm going to need the river to flow there. Because where the river goes, there will be life. So in verse 10, it says, and a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. So God had a plan that in the garden, there was going to be a very special river that went through the garden. And it was going to come to the place that one was going to expand into four so that it can go in different directions to reach all the boundaries and borders. So in the garden, there was a river. And the river was producing like the one that we read in Ezekiel. Wherever the river flowed, there was great fish. Things were fruitful. Dry places became havens of the garden. And so all God needed to do is get the river to go into a desert land and put the man to watch over it and take care of it and help it be fruitful, and desert land could become part of the garden. The garden was supposed to increase. I want you to know, if you've already received the river of life in your own life, it needs to expand and increase and go into other dark places. It needs to go into some dry places. And one of the ways you can hear the river flow is when you open your mouth and it agrees with what heaven has said from where the river comes. You have to speak in agreement with from the place and where the river flows. And I'm going to show you where that river flows. Can we check real quickly? I think you're going to like it. Revelations 22:1. So we started here in Genesis. And from the beginning, God had the plan for man to work a land that required a river to flow. And now we go to the last book of the Bible, the last chapter, chapter 22. It's all coming to Omega. For For he is Alpha and he is Omega. And he starts the last chapter of the last book of the Bible like this. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. I want you to know that John had got brought by the Spirit into the heavens, the throne room of God. And he was supposed to record for our benefit to understand the place that we're going is a real place. And the Lamb that laid his life down for you here is alive and well there. And he has angels that worship him not out of coercion or just when the song is right, but at all times, on every day, forever, they worship him. And from his throne, there is a river flowing out of it. And it's pure, crystal pure. And everywhere that river goes, there's life. Everywhere the river goes, there's life. Everywhere the river goes, there's life. Everywhere the river goes, there's life. Sometimes we pray, Lord, I need you to bless me. And God says, I would rather give you a river. Lord, I need a little money. How about crystal water? Lord, I need someone to be with me so I know I can do it. How about I send you a flow of life that'll be consistent, that will never fail you? It won't let you down. It will give you access to all that come from my presence. Does anybody want access of all that comes from God? Well, then I don't want to have to just beg for one little blessing at a time. I want to tap into the life of this thing. There needs to be a river flowing. And it needs to come directly from him into me so I can be fruitful and it can go out of me. The river. The river. There's a place in Psalms 36, I believe verse 8. I think you'll like it. King David again. The same one that recognized as the deer pants for the water that his soul longs for, the river that comes from God. Let's read this thing. It says, and they shall be abundantly satisfied. He's speaking of whoever would trust the Lord. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, God's house, where we were in Revelations. We were in God's house looking at things and how his throne room is. And we recognize that this river comes out of his house. It comes out of his very presence. It comes right out of his throne. It comes out of his majesty. It comes out of his glory. The river flows from him. And watch what it says. It says, and you're going to have us to drink of the river of your pleasure. What is God's pleasure? What's God's pleasure for you? Is his pleasure for you to suffer all your life and one day maybe get to heaven? Is his pleasure for you to be sad and depressed? To be sick with no hope? To have no one who loves you? To have no one that'll help you? To be putting on a face that looks well, but within your spirit, you're crying out, needing help? Do you think that's his pleasure? What do you think his pleasure is? The Bible says that when Jesus came, Jesus, because of the pleasure of God, took all the sin of the world onto himself. Because God wanted his pleasure to flow. And he took your sin and my sin and the sin of the whole world upon himself and wore it. Because the river couldn't flow into the life of sinful man. It was dammed. It was blocked. So the river couldn't flow. And the Bible says it's not the will of God that any should perish, but we all would receive eternal life. And so Jesus took this sentence that belonged to you and me of death. For the Bible says every sin, even one, just one sin, requires a blood payment. Which means if I counted my sins and say, well, I only have a few sins, Chaya has much more than me. The scripture says that if you have one sin, the price is still blood. So I can't say, but I've done more good. With all your good, you couldn't stop the dam of the river flowing to you because of your own sinful state. And so the Bible called us a wasteland or a wilderness or a dry place or parched places where things were thirsty and deprived of the river of life. But he had a good pleasure to send the river back into ways of the wilderness and into things where there was no hope so that he could have his pleasure, which could be fruitful in everything and anything, come our direction. So Jesus took on the payment and paid it. And so that's why it says in the Revelations 22:1, it says in the throne of God and the throne of the Lamb, meaning this river couldn't flow to us until the Lamb took his seat. Until Jesus accomplished his work, you have to know the importance of what Jesus did. He wasn't just a figure that we argue about of who he was. When I traveled through Israel and Egypt and Syria and Turkey and Jordan, when I went to Morocco and all these other places, they didn't argue whether the man Jesus Christ existed. They argued whether he was the Lamb of God. When I went and talked to rabbis, when I went and talked to leaders of the government in Israel, those that weren't Christian, we didn't have to argue whether Jesus existed because the land they live, they know he existed. But who he was is the only question they have. There is more evidence of the man Jesus Christ living on the earth than there is that Caesar ever existed. There's more historical proof of the man Jesus Christ than there ever was for the Caesar who ran the Roman Empire. And it's the amazing thing that the Roman Empire is not here, but his kingdom still remains. In fact, I find it funny that the early church decided, in the fault of the Roman Empire, we'll take Rome to be the headquarters of the Catholic Church. I like that. Where's Caesar? Looking for a river that he might have his thirst quenched. I'm trying to encourage you that God has a pleasure to give us things that come from the life where he thinks and comes up with things in his own ability. The Bible says God already knows what you have need of before you ask or pray. Before you ever thought to pray for help for the situation that you're just now seeing, he saw it before he made the earth. And he already said, if I can get my river to flow from me to them, every need will be met. This is God's pleasure. Let's just go back one chapter real quick. It's one of my favorites. 35:27. I just want to read it real quick. It says, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, constantly, because it's flowing. It's not once in a while. It's a flow. It's constant. It's going. Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who takes pleasure out of his... God gets pleasure out of my prosperity. With man, if I want to please man, I have to do something and give them something. But with God, he takes pleasure when I will receive something from him. It's his good pleasure. to give us the kingdom. It's his good pleasure to pay the price of sin. It's his good pleasure to send a river that brings life wherever it goes. But who will receive it? Who will receive it? Because you have to become thirsty. It's free, but it will cost you everything. You have to be like the deer who says, this day can't go any longer until I find water. I have to drink something. So as the deer pants for the water, it's God's pleasure to see us long after him. I hope you came to this place longing, looking, searching, desiring to receive something that won't just hold you over for a moment, but will become a river in your life. His good pleasure, it's God. He wants you to drink from his pleasure. Someone should just go, let the pressures go. Peter, let the toiling go. Martha, let the worrying go. Let it go. Because what God has for you, it changes households. If this river flows in our house, then God's pleasure can just bring life throughout the house. Which means it's good for the children. It's good for the relationship. It's good for everything in the house. All I need to know is the river is there. There have been times in counseling where I have faced great challenge of wisdom of how to deal with impossible situations that I could not naturally come up with the conclusion to make everybody happy. In fact, I knew for sure that we're getting to the point of having to use my authority to cut. But then the river flowed in. And no longer did we see ourselves on different sides, but all we could both talk about is what we're drinking on. I want you to know the river can reconcile marriage. Families can be brought back together. Dreams can be restored. Health will come into your body. But we have to let the river flow. Is anybody hearing me today? Let's go New Testament again. John 7, 37 and 38. Another famous place in Scripture. And since I'm reading it now, it's my favorite. My favorite Scripture is the one I'm reading. Because that's the one that has the power to do something right now for me. So you got to have a lot of favorites, just so you know. If you're still only saying the same old scripture, your favorite, and it's the only memory verse you know, I want you to know the river is trying to bust through. It's trying to come to foreheads and have different directions it can go. Some of us know how to drink in one place only. Unfortunately, you live a whole bunch of places. And sometimes you can't wait to get back to that one watering hole to drink. But what if a river is coming through you, you could drink from anytime, anywhere, anytime? What if you could drink anytime, anywhere? And what if not only could you drink, but you could let the river flow into someone else's life? Would you hold it back from them or would you give it? It's funny what unforgiveness will do. Unforgiveness is a damming of the river. I refuse to let it flow into your life. I don't want God's pleasure to reach you because I don't think you deserve it. Jesus, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus has a way of waiting sometimes until you're really thirsty. Are you really thirsty? I could use a drink. You're not really thirsty. But have you ever gotten to the place where, and I know the message of our apostle, he got to the place where he said, Lord, if you don't fill me with your spirit, I don't even want to live. He got to the place where there was nothing more important than for him to receive what God said he would freely give that would give us the life of children of God. Yeah. He said, there's nothing left. My work won't satisfy me. My family, there's nothing they can do to quench this thing. How often do we put pressure on other people when we're really just thirsty? We're really just thirsty ourselves, you know? We just really want something. And we're trying to draw it out of people, and you squeeze and you only get vinegar. Because the flesh doesn't have the ability to give you what flows from the presence of God. So this scripture, on that last day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst. And the amazing thing is some of them stood up and said, I'm not thirsty. I don't need it. Can you imagine Jesus? And it says he cried out. And scripture, when we read it, sometimes he'll use the word like verily, verily. And when they say verily, verily, they're trying to let you know he said it with a great exclamation. He said it with great influence. He said it with great power. Verily! It doesn't mean he actually said verily, verily. It just means he said it as a point of emphasis. And when it says that Jesus cried out, some of us don't like loud preachers, but I want you to know Jesus cried out. And he says, if any man thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Because out of me flows the river of life. And I want you to know that as his ambassador today, I stand here under the authority of the Holy Spirit, bringing these words off that page on the last day of the feast, and I'm bringing it to the first Sunday of September 2016. And I'm saying, if there's anybody who thirsts, I want you to come to Jesus and drink. Not metaphorically, not just through good religion or old tradition, but to truly drink from the Holy Spirit that is flowing from the place in which he dwells right now. Come, let him drink. I'm just imagining the people that said, no, thank you. Here's the amazing part, praise the Lord. Here's the amazing part. Sometimes we don't know we're thirsty. Until someone tells us we are. My son has a way of living. He's right here. That's fast and aggressive. And sometimes he's been outside in the heat all day. And he'll come through and his mama will look at him and look at his eyes and look at the color and look at his face and say, son, you need to be hydrated. You need to drink. Even when he doesn't know it and doesn't feel it. Even when he starts getting tired and showing signs that he needs water, sometimes it's only his mother who will look at him and say, you need water. And he'll say, I don't want water, I want a soda. I don't want water, I want this juice or that juice, I want... But isn't it amazing with all the technology and all the things that we come up with, water, crystal, clear, pure water is so refreshing that nothing will ever take its place. Nothing will ever take its place. Isn't that amazing? And it's the one thing that he gives free. It's in the rocks. It's under the ground. It comes from the sky. He gives it to us. But sometimes I'm looking for something else. Well, spiritually, it's the same thing. Sometimes you don't recognize when you're simply thirsty. Sometimes some of our attitudes and sometimes some of our outlook on life and sometimes the way we're talking, what we're saying is, I'm really just thirsty. I wish someone would give me a drink. Sometimes I'm complaining to my wife and I'm really saying, you know, it's actually just me being thirsty. And I want you to know, God, knowing you would be here today, knowing you'd be listening live stream, he says they're thirsty. My people are thirsty. Give them water. Let's read the next verse here. There is a mystery to it. He says, he that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So Jesus first said, if you're thirsty, come to me, and I will give you to drink. And then he says, whoever comes to me, out of their belly, out of their life, out of their desert place, out of their dry land, out of their hopes and dreams, I'm going to flow through it, and it's going to come out as rivers of living water. Why rivers? The same way as there was rivers in the garden. It came from one source but went to four heads to reach other areas. The Bible says that we who receive Christ and are filled with the Spirit have streams of living water that's connected to the water that comes from the throne of God. It comes directly from the place that he dwells. So, God wants to do more than give us a sip. He wants to give us rivers. When I was in Egypt, I was in Cairo, Egypt. Crazy place, 25 million people living in Egypt, Cairo, Egypt. And every day that I went to school, I had to cross the Nile River. And so I started kind of studying the Nile River, which was considered the centerpiece of civilization for the early world, because everything that there would be a town or a village and stuff, everything was connected to the river. Everything would be by the river because you needed the river to be able to produce life. You needed a water, a consistent flow of water to be able to really have farms and food and feed people. And so the centerpiece of civilization, the Nile River. And everywhere where the Nile went, you would see villages and towns. But then just on the outside, you would see deserts. And I mean desert. If you've ever been in Egypt, you'll see some dry desert. You know, we think Arizona's dry desert. I'm talking about dry desert. I'm talking about that lizard that lives in Arizona desert. He packed his bags and moved to Arizona from this desert, okay? It's dry. But yet, just a little bit away, you can see in the distance green trees. And you can see that, without even seeing the river, you can tell it's there, and you can pretty much follow the river by growth. You can see things growing around it. But on the outsides, everything's dry. It's an amazing picture when you see it. And it's like, wow! And so my question is, where are you living? The river's free, but it might cost you to pack your bags and get to where it's at. You might have to reposition yourself. I'm not telling you to pack your bags and leave the town. But I'm saying pack your bags and leave the old dry places. And plan on living your life where the river is. For the plan that Jesus had for us to drink of his water was for the river to be in us. Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit since you became a believer? Because he's talking about the Holy Spirit here. And the Holy Spirit removes us from being good religious people with good histories and traditions and become a people that have the presence of a living God moving in them all day, every day. And that is a different thing. And that's the part that's weird to the dry place. Well, I just don't know how. I don't understand that. And they would rather worship God from afar, begging for a drink of water. And God says, no, I want to be with you, through you, and I want to satisfy not only you, but I want to bring my good pleasure alive. There's things in your life that God hasn't forgotten that you've prayed for when you were even a child. There's some things that you in your heart that you asked for and you forgot because it just looks impossible from where you're at. And God never forgot. And God says, if I can get the river there, oh, I can quench. I can quench their thirst. Let's just read one more verse here. Just one more right here. This one's going to be my favorite. It says, but this spake he, Jesus, of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not given yet, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Can I explain that to you? So Jesus was telling them, if anybody's thirsty, come to me, I'm going to give you water. And it says, out of whoever comes to me, out of their belly shall flow rivers of water. But Jesus, we're being told by John, Jesus was talking about the outpour of the Holy Spirit that would only be given after the Lamb gave his blood, was resurrected, and was glorified, sitting in the place of authority so he could make all things new. And when he got to that place, the Bible says, on the day of Pentecost, after his resurrection, 40 days walking the earth, he ascended to heaven in the sight of his disciples, and they watched him go. And they went to Jerusalem to wait for the promise that he told them about of the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus took his seat after the great coronation, it said he began to direct the river to flow back to his people so that out of their belly could flow rivers of living water. So the Lamb had to take his place in the throne to stop the dam that heaven had the water, but we didn't. Now, the river that runs in heaven can reach us. Amen. And the Holy Spirit on the inside of us flows streams of living water. Amen. And everywhere the river goes, things come alive. Amen. That's why I would say, listen, I shouldn't have to make a Spirit-filled person worship. Shouldn't have to make them go to church. Shouldn't have to make them pray. Shouldn't have to make them give. That should be flowing. Right? So no, it's no longer the obligation of the flesh trying to produce a harvest that it can't as a desert land. But it's now being like Adam and being put in charge. Hey, you're going to have to handle all of this increase. You're going to have to handle all of this fruitfulness. What are you going to do for it? You got more apples than you can eat. Freely you receive, freely give. King David put it like this: my cup is not full, it runs over. My cup is not enough for me. My cup is enough for me and my children and my children's children. The cup that I drink from flows. And so God was talking to us, offering us a drink of water, but some of us will still resist his Spirit. I want you to know God's speaking to you today and said, I want to crush any of your old traditional religious beliefs. And I want to simply ask you, are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? Without worrying about who's looking at you, are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? And we'll close with this place in the book. Turn with me to Luke chapter 11. We're going to read 9 through 13. Can we do it as a congregation? Your cadence will be ready read, and then you'll start reading. It'll be that fast. You know what? The river of God in you and the river of God in me agree. Amen. The Bible says, no man after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We should know each other after the Spirit. What's in the person? what's in. And if the same God that's in me is in you, we should touch and agree and not fight. And if the same God who's in me is not in you, I should offer you a drink. I should offer you a drink. I should offer you a drink. The Bible says if you see your enemy thirsty, give him water. Well, I would. I just don't got enough for the both of us. Well, what if you have a river? Would you give him water then? Ready? Read. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And the apostles, when they were returned, told him I think we went somewhere funny there. Go back to chapter 11, verse 9. Let's try that again. Are you ready? Read. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and to he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. That's good news. Amen. Let's keep going. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give for a fish and give him a serpent? Verse 12, or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Watch this. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Is anybody thirsty? Is anybody thirsty?